Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 28, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. How else would you explain all this craziness out there and all this sin? Father, lift the veil from their eyes. This is the time before Messiah's glorious return. So, folks, it's time to get out of sin. If you haven't made the choice tonight to have the Son in your life to be your Savior, you need to do it now. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who's what? He suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, if you have not made this choice for him in your life tonight, you need to make it. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, prayer request, or message. I can't call you back unless there's a number. And even if you leave a number, I need to know, say, hey, this is a prayer request, something. The phone number is 620-878-4682. You can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's also simulcast live right now on YouTube. It's on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. And, of course, it goes to podcast later on afterwards. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Lisbon, Portugal, Chongqing, I forget it, China, Madrid, Spain, Guyana, Venezuela, Hyderabad, India, Toronto, Canada, and of course cities in the United States such as Philadelphia, PA, Boston, Massachusetts, Colorado Springs, Colorado, San Jose, California, Kansas City, Missouri. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later tonight. You folks in Wichita, drop by and see me and pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I really, really, really pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours, Father, for we don't know how to do anything right. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in your Son Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. False prophecy after false prophecy after false prophecy. These are so bad for so many different reasons. It's just like claiming that Obama was, and some say still is, the Antichrist. These are so bad and dangerous for so many different reasons. Tonight, we're going to speak with Steve Henderson about this and much more. He served in the last 30 years as a pastor, an evangelist, and an equipper in a ministry. In the last several years, Steve has been called to the arena of teaching prophecy. His ministry, the sure word of prophecy, is a mission to help believers understand Bible prophecy and prepare them for the return of Yeshua. And so he does want to point unbelievers to those, to one who knows the end from the beginning. It is his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, atheists, providing them with the evidence that they need to turn to a faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. You can check out his website at surewordprophecy.org. And tonight, he's here to speak with us about, let's ask him. So let's welcome back Steve Henderson. What is it you're planning on talking about tonight, Steve, with such a crazy world out there?
Well, it's getting crazier by the minute, brother. Big howdy from Oklahoma, Pastor Dan. I see that in light of the things that happened this last week, you've been left behind, too. Maybe because we had to do this program tonight, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just, it's nutty. I mean, every time something happens, you can see the such division and things, because you can I can tell there's a spiritual battle from it all. So I guess what I'm trying to say, and it's manifesting itself more and more and more. Let alone with this NFL thing, it's just insanity. Back to you.
Yeah, brother, I see it as a satanic tidal wave. He knows that the time is getting closer to the arrival of our Lord and Savior Yeshua, and you know, I'm going to talk tonight a little bit about the presuppositions of prophetic perjurers. And what I mean by that is there are sure a lot of people that have a lot of ideas about how things are coming down, and as we were evidenced this last week, in fact, maybe it'd be well to just kind of give an idea to the listeners here in case they weren't part of this hype that was going on around the last couple of weeks, especially as the videos went viral on YouTube and as various tabloids and even the newspapers were getting involved with this prediction, depending on what angle you heard from. The date of September 23rd, 2017 was the day when the world would end and the rapture would come. And depending on what angle you saw it from, the date would bring forth a collision between Earth and a rogue planet, or a world-changing celestial alignment, which would herald in the end of days. There's a biblical numerologist, David Mee of Wisconsin, who propagated that on the 23rd, Earth would collide with a planet called Nibiru, which was, according to his confusing calculations, determined by astronomy and biblical numerology. I find it pretty interesting.
Let me say something about that.
Yeah, sure.
I've heard two different things since. Well, actually, I did a program with Joel Richardson about it just the week before, or a few days before. But anyway, having said that, I heard that the predictions were changed to maybe two different days. One, Yom Kippur, which is Friday at dark, to Saturday at dark, supposed to either come then, or I heard that it might have even been put off. He recalculated it until October, so we got a little more time. See?
Yeah, hallelujah, brother. I'm really encouraged by that. Just 2 days after the end of the world was supposed to have come, on September 25th, Time Magazine wrote an article entitled "David Mead Said the World Was Going to End Last Weekend." Now he says it's really happening in October, and I have an excerpt here. I'll read you. It says this: Doomsday will actually happen in October. He stated that nothing is expected to happen in September. Of course, that's easy to say after the fact. And he also proclaimed, it is possible at the end of October we may be about to enter the 7-year tribulation period to be followed by a millennium of peace. Now, he says the real action will start on October 15th. You know, enough already. Let me make some wise recommendations up front here. Hit the delete button on this guy when he pops up again. He's now saying that, the time has been extended, and he really believes that October is going to be the time now. So, what really amazed me about that, Pastor Dan, about all this hype, and, this happened a couple of years ago, too. In fact, about every September, you get this overwhelming scourge of prophetic predictions that come around the fall of the year, and I think some of them line up with the feast days, and that's why they do it during the September time of year. But what really amazed me was the overwhelming amount of collaboration and confirmations on the internet concerning this set rapture date of September 23rd, and the enormity of believers who pigtailed in on this astronomical fantasy and twisted hermeneutical blunder of Revelation 12. I was embarrassed for him, brother. And I'm even more embarrassed for those who are left behind, because now they're going to have to man up and confess their bizarre projections that they were wrong to an already scoffing world. It's an embarrassment to all of the followers of Yeshua. And even the secular newspapers were in on this end of the world hype and sensationalism surrounding Mr. Mead's viewpoints on how it's all coming down. And Pastor Dan, all it would have taken is just a little digging and gathering information from the experts. However, there were some that believed that the experts were also on a conspiracy list and they were hiding the real truth. And if you get to that place where you're under that much delusion, then there isn't a whole bunch to do from there except to eat humble pie when a day comes and goes without any change. Amen?
Yeah, amen. Let me say something, and which really does remind me. And I had a brother on this program for a long time, and I'm not going to mention names or go into anything deep so people can identify him. But this man, you know, wrote books, many books. And, you know, he really read the Bible, you know, really good, has a real grasp on reality. And then about a year ago, he said that before Obama left office that something was going to happen, and I'm not going to go into what because I'm trying not to identify him. But, you know, and he gave dates, and he said, if not, I'm a false prophet. Well, you know, I tried to. You know, I couldn't believe the words were coming out of this man's mouth. But I will say I respect him a lot. He has not came back on. Well, he hasn't. You know, he's, you know, basically stepped out. I know he's now starting to say some things. But, you know, he's not pointing to the same thing. You know what I'm saying? But I really pray for him. But it was a loss to the body of Messiah for this man to cross over, I'll say it like that, cross over and to believe that he heard from the Lord that it was going to be a specific time and date for this event to happen. And it was a great loss that I mourn. Anyway, back to you.
Yeah, it's absolutely unfortunate. And you see so much of it. And I have a list that I go on from here to midnight about these people who have special revelations, and we'll speak a little bit about that in a little bit. You know, if you hear of a revelation, then the first thing you want to do is check it out, and maybe with the blessing of internet, you can find out a lot of information in a short amount of time about these strange ideas and how they couple these ideas with the end of the world, which there have been a lot of predictions about that. You see, Meade's prediction concerning the September 23rd was a latest spin on a Nibiru conspiracy theory, which had roots dating back to the 1970s. Originally, this rogue planet was supposed to collide with Earth in 2003, and however, an uncooperative cosmos forced conspiracy theorists to reschedule it for 2012. Well, 5 years later, the planet still poses no threat because it doesn't exist. And, you know, if we would just listen to some of the ones that actually have the big guns looking out into the skies, NASA being one of them, back in 2012, when this was such a big thing, NASA made this statement: Nibiru and other stories about wayward planets are an internet hoax. If Nibiru or Planet X were real and headed for an encounter with the Earth, astronomers would have been tracking it for at least the past decade, and it would be visible by now to the naked eye. Pastor Dan, doesn't anyone ever check out the facts anymore? You know, NASA has been saying for a long time that this idea was an urban legend, and there's no such thing as Nibiru. So what's going on with these people?
Well, it's just like they discount, have you heard of the flat Earth? It's just like they completely discount that the Earth is round and flat. It doesn't matter how many pilots and everybody else tells them that it is indeed round, but no, it's flat because the Bible says it's flat. And it, you know what? Or it they also believe it sits on the back of a huge turtle. But people, I'm telling you, though, that I know some people that I thought were really, really, really intelligent, or, you know, a little smarter than the average parent, that actually buy this. Why?
Yes, and that's a scary thing. They come across, and I'll tell you what, they know their Bibles rather well. And, you know, they come across, and they'll amalgamate some truth with some error. And it's that error that will grab a hold of you. I mean, you put some truth in there to give plausibility to it. But, you know, in the same time, the evangelical Christian publication called Unseal had argued that the book of Revelation 12 foretold a September 23rd alignment of several planets, sun and moon, and the constellations of Virgo and Leo. Now, when I read Revelation 12, I'm going to articulate in a second, but I see nothing to that effect. But that's what they claim. They claim that the alignment heralded in the leading up to the rapture in Revelation 12, and anyone who knows Revelation 12 to any depth will know that you don't need a high-powered telescope to figure out what the great sign is all about. This is prophetic symbolism that has nothing to do with the constellations here. It's right. Just pure unadulterated butchering and poor hermeneutical kind of construct in trying to line up the stars with this particular prophecy. I'd like to ask your audience, has anyone read Revelation 12 just like it reads? And did anyone understand the context in which the vision is placed? And when trying to figure out the great sign about the woman here, why did no one include the seven-headed ten-horned dragon right in the middle of their planetary alignment rapture scenario? You know, Pastor Dan, in my estimation, you have to read the whole thing and not the part, and it's especially important in the context. Contextually, you know, we find this in a certain time frame, and not only that, but when you look at the details, and I've said many times on this program, you need to pay special attention to the details, and don't ignore the details, because the little details will jump out, and if those details do not fit in your scenario, you better go back to the drawing board. You see, in Revelation 12, after the woman is identified there, there's another sign that appeared in heaven in two verses later. Okay, so you know, you're looking at one sign, and you're trying to put the stars and the constellations in it. But then what about this other sign that appears in heaven? Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his head. Pastor Dan, to me, it would seem unlawful to focus on one great sign and ignore the other sign standing right next to it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's just it. You know, Joel Richardson even talked to the guy that perpetuated the, you know, looking at stars, the thing that you're talking about. And when Joel talked to him, and Joel asked him about, well, this really doesn't line up with it, and this doesn't line up with it, and he says, oh, you're being too picky. But yet this man was basing everybody, you know, leaving the planet, or not everybody, but you know what I mean, people leaving the planet on, you know, well, it's kind of almost right. You know, it was just craziness.
Yeah, and I believe we got to be picky, Pastor Dan. See, that great red dragon is in that vision, and it's a sign in heaven, too. Well, why wasn't that sign mentioned? And I'll tell you right now, Virgo and Jupiter had nothing to do with that sign. In other words, you do not need to look at the heavens in order to interpret what the prophecy is trying to convey here in Revelation 12. In this vision of Revelation 12, the seven-headed ten-horned dragon is behind the alliance of nations, and it will be used to bring the whole world under its control. And, you know, if you go through the text and the context, in Revelation 11, we find the 42-month period mentioned twice, and it's in Revelation 12, in this sign in heaven, we find 42 months mentioned two more times in Revelation 12. And then in Revelation 13, in the Mark of the Beast chapter, we find this seven-headed ten-horned beast in 42-month period taking place again. And by the way, in these passages, first of all, the woman is on the earth, and the earth helps the woman to get away from the taken into the wilderness. And so the devil, in this passage of 12, Revelation 12, goes out after the woman and then after her kids. And very clearly in the scripture, the kids, the children of the woman are on the earth, and they're being severely persecuted. In Revelation 12 and verse 17, it declares, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yeshua. Now, you cannot remove the saints from this picture. And here in Revelation 12, they're not only trying to put the stars in alignment with this passage, but they're discluding the seven-headed ten-horned dragon who's going out and making war against the saints of God, which is the body of Christ. And I don't know about you, Pastor Dan, but this doesn't sound like the saints have left the earth in this passage, does it?
No. It doesn't lead to the finale. Back to you.
Yeah. And so, and one other point I want to, you know, while we're on this hobby horse here, what do these astronomer prophecy numerologists and all these interpreters do with passages about great signs in heaven in the book of Revelation outside of Revelation 12. Here's one that they apparently overlook and do not articulate on. In Revelation 15:1, it says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous." Now, you know, the other passages talk about the great signs. Well, this one here is a great marvelous sign, and I don't see them lining up Leo and Virgo with this one. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Now, what would this Christian numerologist do with trying to find this great sign in the constellations also? Friends, this has nothing to do with the planets or any other astronomical construct. This great marvelous sign is exactly what it says, and we need to quit reading into the text something that simply is not there, period. Amen?
Amen. I think people are hooked on sensationalism, maybe. I don't know. Back to you.
Yeah, that's bottom line, brother. You see, considering the hype around these end-of-the-world conditions and projections and, you know, when someone throws something like that out there, there's consequences. There's big consequences in it, and it's called disappointment, and it's called disappointment to the point where they believe in these people, to the point where when it doesn't happen, they just wind up just throwing up their hands, and the more this stuff happens, and I guarantee you, and the scripture says it's going to happen, that many false prophets are going to be raised up and deceive many, and it's a perfect plan of the devil to get everyone to the point where they just don't even want to hear anything about this stuff anymore. And so when the true messengers are raised up with the coming warnings that the Holy Spirit inspires them to speak, they're going to write them off as all these other ill-informed, right, uninformed prophets, and people are setting these kinds of dates. And I get this picture throughout the scripture. In 1 Timothy, it says that the Spirit is going to clearly say in the latter times, "They'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctors of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." And I see that so clearly. These people are throwing out these projections and false presumptions about how they feel the things are coming down. And when they set dates and times, you know, it's just absolutely horrendous, the consequences that follow that. I can imagine that there are a lot of people right now who were interested in what was being said, and the news brought a lot of light to this thing. But now that the time has come and passed, I can see many walking away from this and never willing to hear anything about this again.
Never willing to hear about the truth again. That's why they'll be caught as a thief. Hey, really quick, give your website so we can go to break.
Absolutely. SureWordProphecy.org. And in fact, on the 22nd, the day before the 23rd, I did the fourth session of my Time of the End series, video series, called The Rapture of the Gathering. And that should be out next week, brother, so I'll put it on there for the listeners.
All right, I can't wait to see it. All right, folks, we'll be back with more with Steve in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Last week, folks, I said the real men of the fodder needed to stand up against the evil in this country. Stand up for what's right. As you folks maybe not particularly the ones listening to me, but so many in the body of Messiah have been silent too long in their stand against what is evil. You need to stand up. You don't need a new message or figure out what you need to say, but the old one is fine. Be ye holy, because he is holy. Stand for what the Bible says is true. By that, that's standing in the spirit of Elijah. I was in real surprise to see Donald Trump stand up against the NFL. And yes, I laugh, because it kind of funny, sort of, but he could have said some better words instead of calling him an SOB, you know. But, you know, a day or so later, I saw a conservative commentator state that the flag and anthem is what unites our country. And really, he is very right, but he left out a big point. It is really Yahweh, our Father, and Messiah, his Son, who does unite this country, or did. But the body of Messiah has been silent too long. We kicked him out of things. We kicked him out of the public square. We kicked him out of our schools, and so on. But we need to have the same kind of passion that I, because all over, you know, I'm seeing all over Facebook and other places that people are burning jerseys and everything and are standing up to the NFL with a passion. And this commentator had a passion. And I really like his program. He's a good conservative guy. But we should have a much stronger passion for standing up for biblical values and what is right. What happened to the body of Messiah? Why have you been silent for gay marriage? Why have you been silent for all these various sins that are in the world, for the women going, being practically naked, you know, whether it's on TV or whatever, you still tune into their programs. You still go to the, well, movie houses has dropped, thank the Father, but you still partake. In order to stop, you have to use a voice. Part of that voice is not partaking in these things, and you can't partake with them and then preach against them. It's hypocritical. You can see the more quiet we got, the more the devil took our values away. Prayers, commandments, Christian values, out of everything. And where was the body at? Mostly silent. And this is what produced this toward generation of vipers that seeks to take away your values. Stand up while you can. If you're silent, you could lose most of everything you hold dear to you. And you could also, that could also be your life as well as your salvation. So please support us. So on another note, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. People, men, women, children from all walks of life who had a bad break and come to us for help. And we still not recovered our studio broadcast equipment. I still say that we're around here with duct tape and baling wire keeping this studio going. So pray about supporting radio, as it also supports the poor. In fact, it's our major source of funding. And go back to that. Radio, if you're listening to this program, you must enjoy the program. You must enjoy the messages or getting something out of them, because really I'm not, my intent isn't to give you enjoyment. My intent is a radio program. Program teaches. We're not a show. We're not here to show you something in the sense of being entertained. We are here to educate. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. Only folks like you that supported us for 18 years that make the Mission Church work. Yes, we minister to people in a part of town. Most people don't even like to walk or drive through. In fact, the city of Wichita, okay, doubling the police for patrols in our area. But isn't that where the body of Messiah should be, is among sinners or among the poor where needed? Because, you know, isn't that what the word does? Is we're supposed to preach the gospel to the poor. We need your help now to keep staying open and help all the new faces that come in. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are all responsible to care one for another as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. That's a fact. But the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime. It comes due in a couple of days. So pray about it. Pray about it. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And so pray about it, folks. And remember, Yom Kippur is coming this weekend. And now we're back with Steve Henderson talking about kind of like the same thing. Are you still with me, Steve?
Yes, brother, and I appreciate your little message there about making a stand. If there were ever a day that we need to do that, my friend, and get sin out of our life, it's right now. And a lot of people for the devil are making stands, and we ought to be shining as bright as the firmament right now and trying to get this message out because the time is at hand, for sure. And thank you for making a stand also for the poor and the unfortunate. Well done, good and faithful servant. I wanted to just go back to reflect on what the Bible says a little bit about the coming days when many false prophets and teachers will be raised up. And, you know, there are implications and consequences for listening and believing the people that you listen to. And you ought to be checking them out a big time. Have you heard, brother, about the new message that's going out now? It's called the new message. Marshall Vian Summers was called to receive revelation from God's angels, and he's been undergoing this experience of divine communication for over 30 years. His message is this. It's called the new message, and in it he proclaims that no one can claim that their religion is the only true religion. Instead, there's a pure and mysterious call of God to each person in the world. This calling sounds to all people, whether they're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Buddhist, a person of another faith, or a person of no particular faith. This is an inner calling, calling to each person to go beyond the confines of belief and to enter in a life of deeper experience, greater relationship, and higher purpose in the world. And one of his revelations is this. There is an alien intervention in the world positioning itself to assume the reins of power, to present itself as a savior of humanity. And if you think this is an isolated messenger, I'll tell you, when your eyes are opened, you see these messengers, not only in New Age and from Satanists and everywhere, they are converging on our society, and they all have revelations. I call these people prophetic purgers. Those who are willing to make false statements under the solemn affirmation, well, this is a word that I've received from the Lord, or I was in vision when the angel appeared and showed me. Man, we have religions that have been spread across this earth in millions, even billions, brother, of followers who have supposedly had followed these people who had angelic encounters or visions. And there are examples of that throughout our history. And one young man, he was 17 years old, on the 22nd of September, 1823. There's something about this time. I don't know what's going on with it, but it was at this time when this guy by the name of Joseph Smith stood not far atop from the hill of Cumorah's west side, and there he obtained his first view of the gold plates and received instructions concerning them from the angel Moroni. The translation of these plates eventually became the Book of Mormon, and along with this book and the prophet, around 15 million deceived followers came from this so-called prophet's angelic encounter. How about entering Prophet Muhammad? He grew up in a pagan religious tradition in Arabia and among those based in the trading centers in Muhammad's birthplace of Mecca. And some of these towns had Kaaba's, cube-like structures that would attract pilgrims during holy months. The Kaaba in Mecca housed various idols and black meteorite that remains to this day. In addition to black rock, Muhammad's Quraysh tribe worshipped a moon god called Allah. Other gods were recognized as well. In fact, the town of Mecca was renowned for religious tolerance where people of all faiths could come and pray at the Kaaba. One day, he told his wife that he'd been visited by an angel Gabriel in a dream. And then he began a series of revelations which lasted almost until his death 23 years later. The Quran is a collection of words that Muhammad attributed to Allah. And now look, brother, out of this angelic encounter with Gabriel, it's now formed a worldwide 1.7 billion followers. And you tell me that the devil is not at work here through visions and angelic encounters. We have not seen anything yet, brother, I don't believe. And what do these followers say? Even if it's pure blatant sin, the Muhammad followers say, well, if it's from Allah and Muhammad says it's okay, it must be okay. And so they follow this blind guide, and if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. You know, all you have to do is check out these messengers and check out the history and how this Islam came to pass, and you're going to understand that, man, from the very onset of his ministry, You know, he married a six-year-old, and you know, we call it child molestation in this country, and there are thousands of forced child marriages going on today because of this prophet's teachings, because he received a revelation from Gabriel and heard from Allah in the name of Allah. And these are just a couple of examples among the hungers that get sucked into religious institutions because of false claims that they were in contact with angels or God Almighty himself. And so it's very, very serious to listen to these people without checking out the messenger. You know, and I'm going to get a little bit more close to the uncomfortable setting here. And I know that some have heralded certain messengers in the past that were called prophets. One being back in 2014, this so-called prophet of God, was saying that God gave him a message that he was going to send a large meteor to hit Puerto Rico. This would be the first event of six in 3 days, in fact. The second event was a shockwave wind that was blasted, spreading around the impact site. And since there was supposedly a fault line in Puerto Rico, an earthquake of the magnitude of 12 would follow. And how he came to that revelation, I don't know, because the highest one reported was 9, and 12 is 1,000 times stronger than 1 and 9. And then a tsunami, 1,000 feet high, would destroy most of Puerto Rico and up to 100 miles islands inland in the east coast of the United States, along with 3 days of darkness, 1 year of famine and drought. Plague breaks out due to the many dead bodies around, and somewhere in there, the earth would stop rotating for 3 days. So when? Well, they tried to nail him down in one place. He said, well, it could happen at any time. But then, you know, when you put your microscope on people like this, you know, that's easy to say. Well, it could happen at any time. Yeah, I can read a book of Revelation, brother, and I can tell you of a time when there's going to be a mountain that falls in the sea. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't have to come up with this revelation that came, you know, from God talk. This comes straight out of the Word of God. And yes, there was going to be a big rock that hits the sea, and I believe that may be an asteroid that he saw back in the book of Revelation. But nevertheless, on a later interview on Puerto Rico Channel 25, when he was asked about this, he said, este año, which means this year, a few times in this video that I saw, okay? In other words, he's on record that this asteroid would happen in 2014, and I saw that with my own eyes. And there were others that say, well, he never said anything like that, but how do you explain what I saw? And what do you do with someone like that who has such a profound revelation and so detailed, and now 3 years have passed, and this guy has kind of faded out in the sunset, but what do you do with these people? And how do you check these people out?
First off, by the word of Yahweh, absolutely. If you don't have your Bible as your yardstick, you need to check them out by that. But I need to relate to this fellow for a minute. I somewhere remember this prophecy, and I may have even had somebody talking about it on the air. But I'm so thankful you brought it up, because I wondered what happened, because it faded out. And I never heard him, you know, or heard either him or somebody set a date. But if you say that he set a date, I absolutely believe you, Steve. And that's all we need to hear from Steve, because Steve is a true witness. So, yeah, so that's a false prophet. There's the point.
But you know how many people herald that guy as a true prophet? And, man, he went all over the world.
There's a lot of people that did.
A lot of people bought into that, you know, and you know, that concerns me, you know. If the prophet is a true prophet, then the thing that he says will come to pass. If he doesn't come to pass, like it says, and he fades out in the sunset, you never hear from him again, then disregard him. That's what mainly a paraphrase from the book of Deuteronomy.
Right.
But then Peter said, you know, at the end, brother, there will be false teachers among you who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of the way whom the truth is blasphemed. Man, I'll tell you what, if that isn't so evident today, it's pitiful. You know, in our past, we have ushered in these messengers of God who, in my opinion, are prophetic perjurers, and I use that statement because they say God told me, or this is a revelation I received from an angel, or whatever. But there are people that are still on TV today who one guy said that the Lord would be back and the end of the world would be no later than 1988, and he's still on TV. One followed on his heels who wrote 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. 300,000 copies, brother, of this book was mailed free of charge to ministers across America. 4.5 million copies were sold in bookstores and elsewhere. And this guy was bold enough to say, if only the Bible is an error, am I wrong? And I say to you, every preacher in town, if there were a king in this country and I could gamble with my life, I would stake my life on Rosh Hashanah 88. When his prediction fell, brother, he wrote a book called The Final Shout, Rapture Report 1989, which explained why the original dating of Rapture 1988 was a year off. Well, he faded into sunset, and more were raised up in his place. And, you know, what I find amazing, when you look at the just the last couple of decades, there have been predictions by God-fearing, and, you know, you can be sincere about the scripture. You can know a lot about the scripture, but you can be sincerely wrong also. And I know at the time of Y2K, when it came, there were people that were in churches that were making some profound predictions and saying that the rapture or the end of the age had come. And man, they were urging their people to go and buy generators and get stock up with a whole bunch of foodstuffs and stuff, because man, the end was coming and the computers were going to shut down and the electrics were going to go off, and you know, and I think they're still selling used generators out in the market today from back in the year 2000. The rapture was predicted twice in 2011, and even Christians bought into the Mayan predictions of 2012, which Christians ought not have done, but they did. And as we all remember here, in a second, it was exactly at the same time 2 years ago when masses witnessed the same collapse of fake news and bitter disappointment because of the prophetic blundering. And you know, and all of these people who made these predictions, there were less than 88 reasons of why they thought these things. And they, but you know, I think that a lot of them, they made books which made millions of dollars off of these projections, and people bought them and they endorsed them and they got the big head. And next thing you know, they fade away. I remember, and this made the hit home too, how a lot of Christians ushered in a man by the name, I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to pick on these people, but what I do want to pick on is a message that they proclaimed, and it got a whole bunch of people on the side of their message. And one guy proclaimed that there would be, he wrote a book about four blood moons, and the tetrad that would come, and the rapture of the church would soon follow, and Israel's imminent calamity and demise, and all this was associated with Assyria. But when he put this out, and he borrowed this from another brother, I think, from what I understand, who was talking about the rapture happening in 2015, he wrote this book, and it sold millions of copies, and people bought on board, man, it's all the blood moons, you know? And, yeah, as a person that studies the Bible quite diligently, I recognize that the Bible does talk about the moon turning to blood. But when you begin to look at the serious, the context of when this happens, the Bible says that immediately after the tribulation of those days, the moon would turn to blood, and it says the same thing when the sixth seal was being taken away, the blood moon would appear there too. But upon serious scrutiny of some of the events that were listed as major events, which happened in the tetrads of the past, they said that when these series of events happened, which were centered around the blood moons, that every time that happened, something happened to Israel. Well, when I began to check it out, 2 + 2 didn't equal 4 there. And so I in my investigative journey, I found out that these things that he was saying weren't all standing up to be what he said that they were. And so I tried to warn people, don't get too wrapped up in this, because this is going to fade away. And sure enough, you never hear anything about the blood moons anymore, and neither has Israel received any calamities or anything that were predicted at that time, and the rapture hasn't happened. And this guy that propagated this was a big rapture teacher. And I have aught with anyone who says he has special revelation and teaches the rapture. And I want to say something here so I don't appear so harsh. I am thankful for these people who are in the book and giving warnings to the world that Yeshua is coming. But But you've got to be very careful on people who say they have a revelation and it doesn't match up with the Bible. And I see this happening, and these people, if you don't know the Bible very well, then you can get sucked up into these hypes of blood moons and other things that happened, like in September of 2015. If you remember that, brother, it was almost identical to this 2017 September thing back and they were giving projections like the U.S. Jade Helm secret preparation of an asteroid will wipe out mankind in September and you know, these type of things. One website said there's absolute evidence of 2015 being the rapture of the church. You know, I recognize that, yes, there is going to be a catching away of the saints. The Bible declares that when the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and a trumpet of God, the dead in Yeshua will rise first, and then we which are alive will be caught up. And that word caught up is harpazo, which means after the dead are raised, then we are going to meet the dead in the air. Now, it's a no-brainer to determine that there's a chronological sequence of events taking place here. So when you have a prophetic teacher who is talking about the rapture and it can happen any minute, first of all, what I see the problem is there is they are ignoring a whole bunch of prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled in the scripture. When Yeshua said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he gave a clue that in the prophecy of Daniel's, there would be some things that we need to understand. He said, whoever reads, let him understand. But if you believe that he's going to come at any minute and he will come as a thief, then you might as well just go ahead and write off Daniel and write off 15 or 16 chapters of Revelation, because they say the church isn't in the book of Revelation after chapter 4. Verse 1. I have ought against that, brother. And you know, it's high time that we go into the Bible and we take a good hard look at these prophecies and don't get sucked up with these false teachers that are everywhere who are going to continue to make their predictions until the time comes when everybody's just going to throw up their hands, walk away, especially when the furnace is turned up seven times hotter, as in the day of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when we're given the opportunity to recant or get thrown in the fire. Do we have the things that we need to endure unto the end? That is what Jesus said. We must endure unto the end to be saved. Now, those who are alive and remain means that they are there at the coming of the Lord, and they are alive and remain, and they have gone through a great tribulation, as is identified in chapter 7 of Revelation. There were people that he had envisioned in Revelation 7 and they were clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. And then the question was asked by John, who are these people? And he said, these are they who came out of great tribulation as may have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Now, you cannot come out of something you don't go into. And yet they persist that the saints are raptured before this, and there's no indication of the church in these passages. And I am seriously troubled by these teachers, because what this does is it sets you back and it gets you to the place where you ignore a lot of these very, very significant prophecies that are in our face as we speak, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we are living in a prophetic time. These false prophets are part of the signs, but people are being caught up with it. And the word says they would, but it's getting worse all the time. And there are so many of them. Steve, I bet we could talk about this 2 hours a day for the next year and a half or 2 years, and we still probably wouldn't cover every one of them that are out there on the internet. What do you
think? How much time do I got, brother?
Oh, you got about a minute and a half, maybe.
Okay, I want to give a couple of tips on how to avoid the trap of a false teacher. And recognize that scriptures sometimes use to lend credibility to topics. And other times, scriptures outright ignored or replaced by new revelation. And they're either extra-biblical or they're anti-biblical. And so consider the source, number one. If the messenger says that he or she is a prophet, that is a red flag. Beware. Now, you can tell me you're an evangelist or a defender of the faith, and I won't be too alarmed, but when you begin to say you're a prophet, there's something about that raises a red flag to me. Number two, check out the messenger. For example, David Meade made a mistake on his original calculation about the end of the world and moved it back a month or two, and there's still people following this guy. Why? I'll never know. But if you see him making these statements and they don't come to pass, disregard him, hit the delete button. Number three, always take a very close look at the scriptures that someone may be using to prove their point. You see, in the Revelation 12, he talked about the woman, a great sign, but he forgot to talk about this great sign of the red dragon, who is more active in Revelation 12 than the woman. And he went after the woman and to the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Yeshua. You got to look at the whole and not the part. They're hugging one big tree, and so they can't see the forest of trees because they're hugging that one tree, that tree of rapture.
Okay, Steve, I got to break in. Hey, well, I got to stop it right there. And give your website. I got less than a minute.
Okay, brother. Thank you for your invitation, my friend. www.surewordprophecy.org. Be blessed.
Okay, be blessed. Folks, really, we got to get out of here, but we must remember there is only one God. He is what? He's your father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Please don't be fooled out there, brothers and sisters. Always be a blessing to others. You can be a blessing to them by telling them the truth. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.